This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann. And as always, we have two stories for you today.
First up, the issue of healthcare in Sabah and Sarawak is one that has been brought up to the federal government again and again. So with the appointment of a new Minister of Health and two deputy ministers, as well as the creation of a Sabah and Sarawak Affairs portfolio, we'll be taking a look at what the healthcare priorities should be for these two states.
And coming up after that, Art for Hutan Kita is an initiative by a group of artists in Kuala Lumpur who are mobilising to support the Temuan Indigenous people in protesting the proposed degazettement of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. So we find out more about the initiative and what it aims to achieve.
And on that note, we have a Twitter poll going. As usual, we're asking you, have works of art such as paintings, films, theatre, music or books, have they made you aware of important social issues? So your options are yes or no. You can take that poll or tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So that's coming up in the second half of the hour. But first, hospitals.
Yes. So we'll be taking a look at what lies ahead for healthcare in Sabah and Sarawak. And now this is an issue that's been brought up multiple times on Health and Living here on The Bigger Picture. And it's also one that MPs and activists have brought up time and time again. And it's issues like access to healthcare, availability of healthcare professionals and infrastructure, as well as the autonomy over administrative autonomy over healthcare decisions. These are issues that are commonly raised with the federal government. So what actually happens next now that Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin has announced the new cabinet lineup under Perikatan Nasional?
Well, let's take a look at the Ministry of Health first. So this is the first time that Malaysia has not one but two deputy health ministers. The new health minister is UMNO's Tenggara MP Dato' Sri Dr. Adham Baba, and his two deputies are Bersatu's Bagan Serai MP Dato' Dr. Nur Azmi Ghazali and Parti Rakyat Sarawak's Kanowit MP Dato' Aaron Ago Dagang.
And another first in addition to that is the setting up of a special portfolio for Sabah and Sarawak Affairs, and this is under the Prime Minister's Department. So the minister for this portfolio is Parti Bersatu Sabah's Kota Marudu MP Dato' Sri Maximus Ongkili, while his deputy is Gabungan Parti Sarawak's Mukah MP Dato' Hanifah Hajar Taib. And so when announcing this cabinet, in his speech, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said that his cabinet will ensure that the spirit of MA63 will be translated into policies and programs that will benefit East Malaysians. And he also said that, quote unquote, the government is serious in handling issues of development and socio-economic advancement of those in Sabah and Sarawak.
So the issue of MA63 is really one that has been in the limelight, right? Especially since Pakatan Harapan won GE14. So a bill to amend the federal constitution to make Sabah and Sarawak equal partners with Peninsular Malaysia was tabled in Parliament early last year, but it failed to make it past the Dewan Rakyat. And one of the issues involved in MA63 is that the state's authority is actually that of the state's authority over health issues in Sabah and Sarawak.
And so now with this new cabinet lineup, right, we're seeing the second deputy health minister being an MP from Sarawak. We're also seeing the creation of Sabah and Sarawak Affairs portfolio. You know, would this mean that we'll be seeing more discussions being held about that relationship between the state governments of Sabah and Sarawak with the federal government, particularly when it comes to healthcare? And that's what we wanted to look at today. And so earlier today, I actually got in touch with an MP whose constituents would be affected by any decisions made on this. And that's Dr. Kelvin Yee. He's the MP for Bandar Kuching. So before I got into asking him about what he thinks about the new cabinet lineup and all that, I first asked him to explain what the relationship is like between the state governments of Sabah and Sarawak with the federal government when it comes to healthcare.
I think to understand the relationship between the state and the federal government, we need to look at the federal constitution itself. And on the current arrangement, the federal constitution clearly states that issues of health is under the federal list, which means that the federal government or the Ministry of Health makes almost all decisions with regards to healthcare in all the states in Malaysia, including Sabah and Sarawak. Sabah and Sarawak, they do have, each state actually has their own state healthcare department, which reports to the federal. However, a majority of the decisions will still be made, if not all the decisions will be made by Putrajaya or the Ministry of Health on the federal level.
And, you know, I've read several articles. You know, there've been MPs and activists calling for greater autonomy for Sabah and Sarawak when it comes to healthcare. Why is there a need for that?
I think in the past few years, there have been growing voices, especially from Sabah and Sarawak, to demand more autonomy on healthcare. And the reason for this is because that, as mentioned before, healthcare is currently centralized under in Putrajaya, under the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So decisions that are made in the federal government may sometimes not be applicable, pragmatic, when it comes to the ground sentiment as well as the ground needs in Sabah and Sarawak.
Mm-hmm.
So the common saying is that a decision that is made so far away in Putrajaya sometimes does not work in Sabah or Sarawak. I can give you a few examples, and one of the most prominent examples, certain policies sometimes that are good for certain states or that are applicable for certain states. For example, each state should have one tertiary hospital and then secondary and primary care. But then if you look at the size or even the demographic of Sarawak itself, who have one tertiary hospital, which is currently in Kuching, the Sarawak General Hospital,
mm-hmm.
it is insufficient to cater for all the needs of all Sarawakians because Sarawak itself, for example, is as big as Semenanjung, Malaysia. So what if there are patients all the way up in north areas of Limbang and Kenawit? It's very difficult logistically and also demographically for them to travel all the way to Sarawak to get the needed treatment, especially in highly specialized fields such as cancer or even cardiac heart diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why we strongly believe that healthcare in Sabah and Sarawak has to be reviewed or be think a different way. And that is why we call for greater autonomy for the states to decide, because the state will know the ground better. The states will know the needs better because we are on the ground and we understand the local context and the local needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then are there challenges if that autonomy is passed on to the state to decide? You know, are there issues like are state health governments equipped to handle that?
I think, of course, it's a complicated matter. I personally do not advocate for a total autonomy because I believe there is merit in a standardized or uniform healthcare policy for a country.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe certain decisions administrative decisions, certain local context decisions can be made by the state itself. That is why I believe in more autonomy, devolution of power, not totally taking over the whole responsibility from the federal government. So this also will have to take into consideration whether the state is prepared to take up this responsibility, whether they have the experience, the ability to take that. Because if it is just devolved straight away without mm-hmm. proper preparation, then this would be at the end of the day bad for the patients and also the people itself. So this whole process has to be done properly. Every role, every party involved has to know specifically their roles and how they can work in a proper ecosystem for the benefit of the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we look back, right, on Monday, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin announced a new cabinet lineup. We're seeing two deputy ministers now under the Ministry of Health. One of them, Dato' Aaron Agodagang from Sarawak. And then we also saw a new special portfolio for Sabah and Sarawak's affairs in the Prime Minister's department. What do you make of this? Do you think this means there'll be greater consideration or time given to considering healthcare issues in Sabah and Sarawak?
I think it did not start from the new cabinet announced by Muhyiddin. Actually, under the previous Pakatan Harapan government as well, there were very intense and deep conversations on this devolution of powers to Sabah and Sarawak.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually discussed under the Special Cabinet Committee for MS63 among top leadership, even from directly the Prime Minister, the Chief Ministers of Sabah and Sarawak, and also legal minds and ministers involved. Out of the 21 issues that were discussed, 17 actually has come to a conclusion and a report has been out. One of it is actually the devolution of healthcare autonomy to Sabah and Sarawak. And from my understanding, even the KSU of Health has traveled to Sarawak to discuss on finalizing the details as well as to fine-tune details on certain powers that will be devolved to Sabah and Sarawak. So this has been an ongoing process. This did not just start during the formation of this new cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on this new cabinet, we have seen that I hope that Now that the second health minister is from Sarawak, I believe that this could be a good step, that more focus can be placed upon Sarawak. And also the special new ministry that they come up with on Sarawak Sabah Affairs, I am optimistic, cautiously optimistic, in terms of not knowing their jurisdiction and where they are looking at, because there will be many overlaps, because this will overlap with MOH, with the Ministry of Health, and all other issues. So I need to understand first the jurisdiction of that ministry, how does it work, in order for the whole fine-tune process to be seen. But with that said, I hope that it's really about time that healthcare and many other issues in Sabah and Sarawak should be taken with a more consideration, should be more given more emphasis to address the real needs in these two territories.
Mm-hmm. So right now, right, moving forward, what are some of the main priorities, that main healthcare issues that should be prioritised for East Malaysia?
I think, as mentioned before, in our discussion under the Special Cabinet Committee under the previous administration,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we identify on the needs of Sabah Sarawak is actually the distributions of doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of doctors in the bigger cities, but there are insufficient doctors in the rural area, the district clinics and everything. So that is why one of the powers that we are looking at devolving is for the state to decide on distribution of doctors. They need where to send the doctors to.
Mm-hmm.
And also the lack of specialists in the two states. Of course, it's not just Sabah and Sarawak, it's a nationwide issue.
Mm-hmm.
But then it will give certain power for Sabah and Sarawak to decide on training, on what specialty, on what master's program is needed in the state, and then they can give special consideration for Sabahkan and Sarawakians to go into those fields.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking is more of the software. That means the workforce, the doctors, the healthcare professionals. The other need that we really need in Sabah and Sarawak is the hardware, which is the clinics itself, the infrastructure, the equipment that is severely lacking. And many clinics, especially in the rurals, are in dilapidated conditions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have clean running water, don't have electricity. So all these things have to be addressed, the hardware and also the software. Another thing, as I said, distribution. From the statistics given by the state government, about only 45% of clinics in Sarawak, especially in the rural areas, do not have a doctor itself. And it is being run by medical assistants and nurses, which have done a good job. But then if there are specific cases, such as an emergency appendectomy, emergency C-section that comes to this clinic,
mm-hmm.
These MAs and these nurses, they are not properly trained to do it. And this, of course, increases the risk of negligence and bad things, unwanted things are happening. So that is why we need to properly distribute, properly understand the need of the local clinics, especially those in the rural areas. And that is why we have been pushing for greater autonomy. And I hope that this will be given emphasis even in this government.
Mm-hmm. And one last question. You know, I think nowadays a lot of people are concerned about the spread of COVID-19. Are there particular issues that Sabah and Sarawak are worried about when it comes to this outbreak?
I think so far, I actually highly commend the efforts done by KKM as well as the disaster management, both on the federal and the state level,
mm-hmm.
in terms of containing COVID-19 in Sarawak especially. This has been always a joint effort, federal and state. And so far, it has been contained pretty well in Sarawak. So far, we have, of course, we call it PUI cases, that means patients under investigation. But so far, there has not been any positive case in Sarawak. And this is also due to many good measures taken by both the federal and the state government on the matter. So
mm-hmm.
again, with this, we are all facing a threat in the whole country. So
mm-hmm.
I hope that the new Minister of Health and his two ministers, now with greater more hands on deck, they can properly address this issue
mm-hmm.
as we move forward, even in Sabah and Sarawak, because it has to be done properly.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned before, Sabah and Sarawak lack the infrastructures that even that the Klang Valley has. So if there is an outbreak, a huge outbreak in Sabah and Sarawak, the concern is that we do not have the infrastructure, enough manpower to deal with it. We cannot build a hospital in 10 days. So that is why it has to be controlled properly right now.
So that was Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching. So the issue of administrative autonomy over healthcare is one that has been brought up by several individuals and groups, you know, besides Dr. Kelvin himself. One of them is Sarawak State Local Government and Housing Minister, Dato' Dr. Sim Kui Hian. So he gave an example of an example that really puts this into perspective for many of us who live in the Klang Valley, right, or in cities here in Peninsula Malaysia. So he says that, quote-unquote, for example, if you drive 2 hours on the North-South Highway, you will reach another big hospital. But driving 2 hours in Sarawak will not get you to another town. And this is, that is the reality because of the size of Sarawak itself. That state is equivalent in size to Peninsula Malaysia, but it doesn't have the same population density.
Yeah, and that is something I think those of us who live in the peninsula tend to forget. We think of Sarawak as being equivalent to one of our states.
That's right.
But no, and the challenges that they face simply because of the distance, and also the lack of development in so many of the areas is really vastly different from what we face here. You know, Batang Sadong MP Nancy Shukri and Keningau MP Jeffrey Kitingan have also referred to the case of Kam Agong. You know, in 2002, Kam Agong bled to death after a C-section at Lawas District Hospital because the nearest maternity facility to her home, which is still 5 hours away.
Yeah, and I guess this goes back to what you said and what Dr. Kelvin was saying, that idea that rural clinics are there, but they're still not equipped to deal with emergency situations like this. Think tank Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy also pointed out the need for healthcare reforms, especially for health infrastructure in rural areas in Sabah and Sarawak. So Galen CEO Azrul Muhammad Khalib, he highlighted how more than a third of people in these two states are living beyond 5 km of any kind of health facilities and have to travel for hours to seek treatment. And I think it takes a lot for us to remember that this is the reality still in parts of Malaysia, right? Especially for us living in the city. You have a GP clinic like stone's throw away. We also received a comment, a WhatsApp comment from Cheryl, saying that with 4 cases of polio in Sabah right now, there should be more urgent to decentralise healthcare and provide resources directly to state health department there in Sabah in order for the state to be able to make their own allocations.
That's a great point, Cheryl. Thank you for that. So like Dr. Kelvin said, you know, there is room for cautious optimism to see what these new ministers would do, what policies they'll introduce to improve the provision of healthcare services in Sabah and Sarawak so that the healthcare in East Malaysia is not left behind. And, you know, usually we don't hear about it until something like the Kam Agong case happens, right?
That's right.
So that is all the time we have for today. If you have thoughts on this issue, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We will be taking a short break. This is With a Little Help from My Friends by The Beatles on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.